Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the sake of the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I came across a story this week that bears testimony to and gives credence to the truth of these words from Mark's gospel. It's a story about a young man who grew up in Vietnam during the 1960s and 70s as his homeland was ravaged by war. Growing up in Vietnam, Hin Pham was raised as a devout Buddhist. However, along the way, he discovered a skill that he had of becoming fluent in other languages. One day, he was given a Bible by an American soldier, and he was interested in and had questions. But then he discovered a Christian church that was founded by missionaries that could explain about Jesus Christ and his great love for him. Hin believed and accepted that Jesus died for him, and he became an energetic, devoted Christian. In 1971, at age 17, he worked closely as a civilian translator with the American military forces. He knew English so well that he was able to be of immense help to them. By virtue of that same strength, he also worked with the English-speaking missionaries, carrying the gospel to those who were desperate to hear it in his part of the world. But within 4 years, Vietnam fell to the communists, and Hin was arrested. Accused of aiding and abetting the Americans, he was in and out of prison for several years. During one long jail term, the sole purpose of his jailers was to indoctrinate him against the West, and especially against democratic ideals and the Christian faith. He was cut off from reading anything in English and restricted to communist propaganda in French or Vietnamese. Hin began to buckle under the onslaught. Maybe he thought, "I have been lied to. Maybe God does not exist." Finally, he made up his mind. He determined that when he awakened the next day, he would not pray anymore or even think of his Christian faith again. The next morning, he was assigned to clean the latrines of the prison. As he cleaned out a tin can filled with toilet paper, his eye caught what he thought was English printed on one piece of paper. He hurriedly washed it off and slipped it into his hip pocket, planning to read it at night. Under the mosquito net that night, he pulled out a small flashlight and read at the top corner, Romans chapter 8. He began to read, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. After reading that recovered page of Scripture, Hinn wept. He knew there was not a more relevant passage of conviction and strength for one on the verge of surrendering to the threat of evil. He cried out to God, asking for forgiveness, for this was to have been his very first day in years that he had determined not to pray. Afterward, he said in his prayer, "Lord, you did not allow me to get away from your arm's reach for even 24 hours. The next day, Hinn asked the camp commander if he could clean the latrine again. He continued with this chore on a regular basis because he had discovered that some official in the camp was using a Bible as toilet paper. Each day, Hinn picked up a portion of Scripture and cleaned it off and added it to his nightly devotional reading. In this way, he retrieved a significant portion of the Bible." Do you crave for God's Word that much? I just found that incredible. The day came when Hinn was released, and he began to make plans to escape from Vietnam. After several unsuccessful attempts, he began again to build a boat in secret. About 53 other people planned to escape with him. All was going according to plan until a short while before the date of their departure, when four Viet Cong officers knocked on Hinn's door. They accosted him and said they had heard he was trying to escape. "Is it true?" They demanded to know. Hinn immediately denied it and distracted them with a concocted story to explain his activities. Apparently convinced, they left. He was relieved, but disappointed with himself because he lied and he buckled under fear and missed an opportunity to share the gospel. He prayed that if the Viet Cong were to come back again, he would have the courage to tell them the truth about Jesus. Only a few hours before they were to set sail, the four men stood at his door once more. "We have our sources, and we know you're trying to escape. Is it true?" Hinn reluctantly gave the answer, remembering his prayer. He did not think God would ask him to keep good on the vow that he made, but he did, and he knew that he couldn't tell others about Jesus one side of his mouth and then lie out of the other side. So he said, "Yes, it's true." But he went on to tell them about Christ. But this is where the beauty of our passage from Mark today comes in. He was giving up his life right there to follow Christ and share the gospel with those men. He knew it could mean the end of his life, the end of his escape plan. But he kept his vow. After sharing with them, he asked them, "Are you going to imprison me again?" And to his great surprise, they leaned forward and whispered, "No, we want to escape with you." So in an utterly incredible escape plan, hours later, all 58 of them now found themselves in a boat on the high seas, but they encountered a violent storm, and they were being tossed to and fro. And Hinn said that he cried out to God in that moment, saying, "Did you bring us here to die, Lord?" But as it turned out, the four Viet Cong soldiers were skilled with impeccable sailing ability. They were all fishermen in their earlier life, and they knew how to deal with a boat in a storm. If it were not for the sailing ability of those four Viet Cong, no one would have made it through to the next day. All things work together for good. In giving up his life, Hin Pham found his new life in Christ. They finally arrived in Thailand. Years later, Hin arrived in the United States, where today he is an American citizen and a successful businessman, having graduated magna cum laude from the University of California at Berkeley with a business degree, and from Harvard and Stanford, even as he continues to share his testimony as a speaker to this day, wherever he is invited to do so, forever grateful to God. How fittingly do the words of the 18th century poet William Cowper capture what God did in Hin's life when he wrote, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain." So Lent is that season that reminds us that storms and challenges will come our way as long as we live in these bodies. But in the midst of it all, Romans 8 and Mark 8 screams to us that God is greater than the storms of this life, and he works wonders in the midst of them. There's nothing but victory beyond the crosses we bear when we are joined to Christ. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus saw beyond the cross. He saw the new kingdom. Yet there's so much pain, so much chaos in our world today, that it causes a person to ask, "Do you really hear us, Lord, when we cry out to you? Do you see the wars and the suffering and the displacement of lives and the strife between nations? The fact that there are five times as many people who do not acknowledge you as there are those who do?" And the answer is yes, he sees. But sometimes I think he would also like to ask us a question. And it can be summed up in a question that a preacher long ago in early 19th century England asked the great English actor William MacCready, a contemporary of Charles Dickens and Alfred Tennyson. The pastor approached him after a magnificent performance and asked, "What's the difference between you and me? You appear before crowds night after night, proclaiming fiction, and people listen with delight. I preach of the essentials and the unchanged truths of God, yet most listen with no passion upon their hearts." MacCready's answer to the pastor was this: "I present fiction as though it were true. You present truth as though it were fiction." Ouch. So could it be that some of the chaos and the confusion and pain in this world might be addressed, might be alleviated, if God's people, the church, you and me, decided to truly live with a holy boldness in our lives? We live in such a way, with such a passion, that we know Jesus is who he says he is, the Savior of mankind. So many Christians live with such timidity. It's like trying to put out a forest fire with a squirt gun and dealing in our mission in the world. Gee, I sure hope God's promises are real. I sure hope we make it to heaven. That's not the kind of hope that God has given us. He has given us a sure and certain hope, one that enables us to be confident in picking up our cross. If you're not sure about it, you're never going to pick up your cross and follow him. God wants you to be sure. He's given you a sure and certain hope, for it's impossible for him to lie about his promises. We need to remember his word in verse 38 today. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The Apostle Paul walked into every town he encountered, proclaiming boldly, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Is there anybody here in this town that I can share Jesus with? Paul didn't wait for people to come to him. He sought them out. The church needs that boldness back. The promises of God are more exciting, more moving, more life-changing than any other message this world could ever hear. We have nothing to be quiet about, everything to be excited about. I, for one, believe the church is a sleeping giant in this world that, if awakened and began to live the truth with conviction, not just giving it a wink and a nod on Sunday, but treating our faith as if it were a fire insurance policy to be put in a file cabinet to be cashed down the road when we die, but instead pick up our cross with a willingness to sacrifice. If we did that, if we truly did that, the results in our world would be profound. Well, what does that look like, you ask? Put it this way. A teacher conducted an experiment with his class of 150 students one day. Out in the hallway were 150 balloons, with each student's name on one of the balloons. The assignment was they had 5 minutes to go out into the hallway and find the balloon with their name on it and come back and sit in their seat. As the students left the classroom, there was nothing but chaos and confusion in the hallway. After 5 minutes, not one person found their balloon. The teacher then called them all back into the classroom and told them to leave the balloons where they were. This time, he gave them a new set of instructions. This time, as they left the classroom, they were told to pick up the first balloon that they could get their hands on, read the name on it, and then give that balloon to the person whose name they read. In 5 minutes, everyone was sitting in their seat with their own balloon. If the church took that approach to living in this world, not worrying about our own name, not worrying about our reputation or achieving our own success, not worrying about ourselves all the time, but picking up our cross and living for the person next to us and for others. In other words, living for Christ, which is exactly what he did, giving his life for others. Just perhaps, if we live that way, some of the chaos in our world would disappear. Lent challenges us to put our life aside, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus, being ever mindful of his words, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the sake of the gospel will save it." What do you say we answer his call, knowing that you go nowhere by accident? Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells in you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, and his power. Pick up your cross and follow him. Amen.